And then you get to the New York Mets, who gave you nothing of what you needed as a fan, as they are shut out. Shut out in game 162. 4-0. And we'll get to all the decisions from Mendoza and the pitching staff. And I understand we all want the coach fired. Look at this team and what they have done since mid-June. Look at this team yesterday when they see on the scoreboard that the Cincinnati Reds are losing and all they have to do is win the final game of the year. All they have to do is take 2 out of 3 from the Miami Marlins. And they show up on Saturday. They get killed on Friday, show up on Saturday, nothing on Sunday. The up and down nature of this group and the embarrassment of this city and of this team. I mean, it is, I was saying all week long, for 2 weeks, I've been saying, no, there's no way. This team is going to find a way to get home. This team is going to find a way to get into the postseason. They're too good. The Cincinnati Reds stink. This team is going to find a way. And to watch this group for the last 3 months slowly fade into oblivion. I mean, I put out a tweet. Everyone's harping on me because I said the worst moment in franchise history. And maybe moment was wrong because it didn't feel like the final moment. It was a long, slow slog of a last couple months. And maybe many of you Met fans, I disagreed. And I was wrong again, twice wrong. And maybe you sense this coming for weeks now. This is the most embarrassing end to a Mets season in their franchise's history. I'm sorry. When you consider how this season started, how last season ended, you sign Juan Soto. This owner is critical of the fan base for not showing up. You put all this money into the biggest contract in the history of sports. You have the highest payroll. You're the best team in the game for the first 2.5 months. And then it all falls apart? And you can't beat out the Cincinnati Reds for the 6th seed? To sneak into this new expanded playoff format? We'll get into all the particulars, and we'll take your calls at 888-808-1019, and we'll go through this game, and we'll talk about everything, including what needs to be done to change this team moving forward, and the embarrassment that this season is for me. I'm sorry. I know I'm not a Met fan. I get it, and I know I haven't been around forever. But considering the expectations at the start of this year, considering you were a team that went to the NLCS and added Juan Soto, this offense added Juan Soto, had a better year and a monster year from Pete Alonso. Had a 30-30 season again from Lindor and scored 2 less runs over the course of the year. The pitching staff absolutely fell apart. The manager that everybody loved last year, everybody wants on his ass this year. The general manager who did everything right and was the reason why Juan Soto chose the New York Mets, because the owner's richer, the future's brighter, the executive is smarter. Everything is better in Queens than in the Bronx. Well, let's forget that even for a second. It's better in Queens than everywhere else. And everything that was touched by this general manager this year fell absolutely on its face. The pitching staff fell apart. The development of of some of the young players that were so promising last year, namely Vientos, Alvarez, completely stink. Juan Soto, who had great numbers, I'm sorry, and we'll get to this conversation, just not impactful enough. And yesterday he came up in multiple spots to impact the game and didn't. And despite his 43 home runs and his 105 RBIs and his 9-whatever OPS, not impactful enough in 2025. The lack of fight and grit and determination that this team had in an abundance last year is shocking to me. It's absolutely shocking to me. And to sit here today as we get ready for the wild card games on Tuesday, as the Yankees get ready to take on the Red Sox, as the Cincinnati Reds get ready to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers, the fact that the New York Mets and their $300-plus million payroll and all the expectations and how the owner wants to, and I talked about this on Saturday, how the owner has made it his mission here with the Mets, not just to win a championship, which he told you he would within 5 or 6 years or whatever he said, and he's backed off of that. And I understand making that statement your first day, a lot of excitement. I get it. I'm not going to hold him to that and crush him for that. It's hard to win a championship, and especially from where they started. But it wasn't just about winning championships. It was about changing, and he said this a bunch of times. It is his goal to change the mindset of the New York Met fan. To no longer be thought of as the laughingstock, no longer to be LOL Mets, no longer for the fan base to be waiting for the other shoe to drop consistently and constantly. That's been his goal, and he's done everything he could to establish that. He came here, he traded for and paid Lindor. He signed Max Scherzer and veteran, you know, Max Scherzer and Verlander to big contracts. He's trading away pieces at the deadline and, you know, taking on money to trade away less valuable prospects. He's brought back the uniforms you love. He's retired the numbers you wanted retired. He's built the statues you wanted to build. He dared you into coming to the ballpark this year at the tune of over 3 million people. I believe you averaged 9,000 more people per game than you did last year. He dared you into it, and you were there, and you listened, and you went. This season, not only is it the most embarrassing season in Met history, this season is an absolute killer for any thought of this franchise establishing some sort of winning culture that you can get behind, a winning culture that you can buy into, a winning culture that you can take for granted, a winning culture that you expect year to year. He did everything he could. He brought in the young, smart executive who took the lousy Milwaukee Brewers and built them up to still where they are today, the number one seed in the National League. He went out and paid Juan Soto and gave him suites and wardrobes and whatever else he needed to establish that this is the place to be. We get the big time prime free agents. I don't care where they played. I don't care about the pinstripes in the Bronx. We are the New York Mets, and this is now a place where the big time players want to come play. That was his goal, to establish a winning culture that they are the likes, even better than the Yankees and the Dodgers and whoever else that you can bank on being in the postseason and contending for a championship year after year. And to fall on their face the way they did this year, I mean, it's got to be, and we're already hearing that there's going to be shakeups inside the coaching staff. We're hearing that the manager is probably coming back. We know Stearns is coming back. Pete Alonso's opting out. There's going to be changes, maybe not the ones you're looking for, but there's going to be changes, and deservedly so, because this is a failure of epic proportions. And I know, you know, oh, it's not the same as 2007. It's not the same as 2008. No, it's not the gut punch, you know, final day of the season where you're 7 games up with 2 weeks left to play, or 7 with 17 or whatever. Maybe this was a long, steady decline that maybe many of you felt coming, and that's fine. I get it. But when you take everything into account, this is as big a fail as the Mets have ever had. I don't know how to say it otherwise. I just don't. Also, you had the difference in competition. This is the Cincinnati Reds. They won 83 games. They were getting swept by the A's while the Mets were on 8-game losing streak and couldn't take a hold of this thing. The Mets had it in their hands heading into the final weekend. We'll get to all the different things in this game and how the manager managed this game with the panic in which he managed the game. And I understand why. It's, you know, the 7th game of the World Series. You have to manage it like that. And we could talk about the pitching that's failed them down the stretch and in the second half of the year, and the idea that, you know, Senga came back off of the injury and was unpitchable. Manaea came back from his back and elbow and side elbow issues, you know, and was unpitchable. David Peterson went from all-star and ace of the staff to unpitchable on the final game of the final game of the season is his day to pitch. The dude was an all-star and the ace of the staff and was unpitchable. And yet, I still want to blame the offense, who wasn't nearly as good as it should have been and got shut out on game 162 when they were in desperate need. We could talk about anything we want about the bullpen game that they pretty much threw out there today, the way the manager handled it, the way the starting pitching fell apart. They gave up four runs to the Marlins. Four. They didn't give up 10. Four. And I know it's not all about yesterday because it's been this slow, steady decline. But if you win yesterday, you have a chance to accomplish anything you want. We're talking a different conversation right now as they're getting ready to take on the Dodgers. And instead, because four was so unsurmountable in the final game of the season, we sit here today doing meth therapy, talking about the changes that are desperately needed inside this franchise.